Flight Control. Kilo Charlie 4, Yankee Lima Charlie, KC4 YLC, David and Whitmire. I'll be in and out tonight. Good evening to you and everyone on that.
I would like to say good evening to KC4 YLC, Mr. David down there in Whitmire. Appreciate you being with us tonight, David, making a good signal from Whitmire up to the repeater tonight. Next up on the rag chew list is Mr. Mike, KC2 SYF. Mike, what have you been up to today there, young man? SYF. Mike, you still with us? Must have bugged out. Do we have any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. We'll wrap it up. I'll submit my net report, then we'll close the net out. Got a grand total of 70 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all are the ones that make the net. If it wasn't for y'all, the net controller would just sit here and twiddle his thumbs. Wouldn't have anything to do. Come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of Rider's Cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.
UE, KO4NUE, this is WGRON, over.
R-O-N. Ed, I believe you know it just came back. Give me a 5-second dead key, no sound, don't count, just no sound, five, but give me 8 seconds, let me hear that. I think I just heard it.
R-O-N, silence follows.
WG8RON, over. 4DOS, KO4NUE. Hey, Gary, you know what that is?
I do not know what that is, Chad. It sounds like a train picking up speed, you know. An old steam locomotive getting started. Don't have any idea what that is. Ron, are you on the J-pole now?
Switched over to J-pole, and I'm using max power.
Power down on your radio and try to staying on the J-pole. May not be making it into the repeater on lower power on the J-pole. But I'll give him another minute to try that. But it could be the power amplifier stage in his radio is not liking the J-pole for some reason.
That it sounds just like a train picking up speed. That's exactly what it sounds like. He's figuring out how to get back on the repeater or what's going on. So I am trying my hand at soldering again. And I'm trying to find the right words to describe what this looks like. So, how about shiny boogers? Does that look, you ever heard that word before?
Sounds like you got just a little bit too much solder. I know you know how to braze with a cutting torch or with a torch. Brazing is a little bit like soldering. You have to get both sides heated so it make sure you got either use flux or I use a flux a core solder, and it smokes a little bit, but it does a real good job. That's what I use here at the house. And just use just a tiny little dab, and then when it flows from both directions on both pieces that you're trying to solder together, lift your iron or your gun up or whatever you're using, and we'll get together and do some soldering now. I enjoy that.
One help. I'm telling you, I got the solder everywhere. I'm afraid I got so much solder, I got it in my switches. I was going to try to, I don't know, This looks horrible. It looks really horrible. I'm really disappointed. I had everything laid out. I had everything figured out exactly where I wanted it, and it's just a boogery mess. And I just a little frustrated with it.
Hold off a minute, yeah, a little second or two in case Ed comes back in there. I don't know if he's got his radio back on. Yeah, if he changed power or if he's changing antennas or what. But we'll give him a minute to get back in there with us. But that's just like anything else, Chad. It takes a little practice. You ought to see my first welding job. The first time I welded with a stick, oh gosh, it was a terrible mess. And then when I used a wire welder, I had little balls of metal all over everything. But I didn't have a decent a bead over there where I was welding. And it was a terrible mess.
Well, I don't exactly know what I'm doing wrong here. I don't think this thing's going to work, but I'm going to keep soldering in hopes that it will. But, I got the right kind of solder, flux. I just don't know what I'm doing wrong. It's like something's getting in the solder and it's got porosity in it. It's like an air bubble or something. I don't know exactly what that is. It might be pulling something out of the PCB board and putting it into the solder, but I don't know.
Coat those printed circuit boards a lot of times, and when I'm trying to work on one of those, if it's a new one or even if it's one that's already been manufactured, you know, I take a little solvent and clean where I'm going to do my soldering, because sometimes there'll be a little flux or a little I guess it's lacquer or something like lacquer that they spray over everything or spray over the board. Try to clean that off, and most of the time that seems to help.
I should have, probably what I should have done was clean the thing first, but I was right out in the pack. But I don't guess that means anything. But it's no big deal, I guess. I just needed to work. I don't care what it looks like, but usually, though, if it don't look right, it don't work right. That's what I've learned anyway, but I don't know. We'll see. Other problem is, Gary, I can't see. I got a magnifying glass, and I got a pair of glasses on, and it's like it's just not enough magnification. I just must be losing my eyes or something, but these things are so tiny.
Are you working with surface mount stuff, or what we used to call the dead bug stuff, you know, a resistor with two wires coming out of it, or a capacitor with two leads or something of that nature? Are you working with that, or are you working with surface mount? And I can help you with that. I can't help you with the other. The other's just too small with my glasses, with another pair of glasses, that's two pair of glasses, and my magnifying lens with the light on it. It's still too small for me.
Got me another magnifying glass. It just seems like every time I get started on something, well, I then need another tool, or I need this, or need that. But I need about four hands, and I don't know, about 10,000 lumen light, and a magnifying glass, or a microscope one, I don't know which one it is, but I don't know. I may have to start over, but I'm going to give it a shot and see how it goes.
KO4 HK.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I was just going to recommend him get a set of jeweler's glasses.
You talking about the little visor kind that goes up where on your head?
Roger that.
There you go. That's probably what I need. That probably makes a whole lot more sense than what I'm doing.
I'm right there with you. I'm struggling with the same problem.
It's amazing to me. You know, I don't have this problem with a TIG torch or a welding rod. You just, you know, it just is too easy. But this right here, it makes you pull your hair out.
have seen me, and I don't have much to spare, so I've got to be diligent with that.
And I said, trying to put eight wires into a little RJ45 plug is what I have trouble with.
We had trouble with it that day.
But I have soldered myself into a hole. I still got to get about 16 resistors in here, and that ain't gonna work. I don't know what I was thinking.
Algebra problem there, Chad. You don't start on one end and go to one end and go to the other. You start in the middle and work your way out.
You look at a circuit board, it looks easy. It just, oh man, that's nice and neat. But boy, this is a boogery mess. I mean a boogery mess. Hey, I got soldering holes that ain't got no wire in it. I don't exactly know how that happened, but all right. Well, it is what it is. Ain't no sense fussing about it, I guess.
Let's step on back out of here. Y'all have a good evening, and just wanted to throw that out there for you, Chad. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. You have a good evening.
Patrick, be safe, 73s. And Gary, I'm not sure Mr. Ed's coming back, so I'm going to duck on out, too. I'm tired. I'm going to get cleaned up and lay my head down. I'll mess with this in the morning, I guess. But at any rate, appreciate you hanging around with me and giving me some advice, because this ain't going to work. But anyway, I'll talk at you later, Gary. 73s, but...
Well, if you need some help with that circuit board or whatever you're building, just holler at me and we'll get together and I'll see what I can do with it and help you with. And, between the two of us, we'll be able to get it done. But you take care. And Patrick, good hearing you in there. Good suggestion about the jeweler's glasses. I hadn't thought about those. You drop those down and most of those have a little light on them anyway. And that way you can point the light right where you're looking. So that was a good suggestion. That's using the old knot on your shoulders, something besides a hat rack. You take care up there at Penrose, and Chad, you take care over there at Campobello. And Ed, I don't know where you went through there, young man, but if you can hear us and you're still listening, let us know something, and we'll see if we can help you any more we can, if we can. All that being said and done, KO4HKX and KO4NUV and WD8RON, if he's still in there, is KI4DOS.
4DOS, what, KO4NUV? One more question, Gary.
Go ahead.
I need a resistor that's, this calculator, the math I'm using here is coming up with 25.97 ohms of resistance. Well, I don't have a resistor that is 25.97. The closest one I got is either a 22 or a 33. Well, let's see. Yeah, I believe that's right. Is that, well, how sensitive are these things?
Or plus or minus, depending on whatever the last color band is, plus or minus 10 or plus or minus 20.
If the math calls for 25 and I use a 30, let's see, if I use a 22, is that going to be a problem?
What is the last color band on the resistor?
Brown.
What is that, brown? I think that's, I can't remember what brown is off the top of my head. That's stupid. Your resistor should have three colors, and that'll give you the whatever it is, and then the last color. If it does not have a color, if it's only got three colors, it'll be a plus or minus 20%. If it's got a silver band as the last band, it will be plus or minus 10. And if it's gold, it's plus or minus 5. And I don't remember what the last one is. But if it does not have the three colors on it, that's the value of the resistor. And I don't know really what you're building, so if you're going with a 25.97 resistor and you want to go with a 22, that may work. You might want to go on up to the 33, I think you said you had.
I'm trying to attenuate. I'm building an attenuator pack. So the goal here is to attenuate. So I'm thinking probably higher is the better.
I guess I would probably go with the 33.
I'll stick it in there and try it and see what happens. And, I think that'll work. I'm building a switch that's got switches on it, and I'm gonna do 5 switches, and I'm gonna attenuate 10 dB at a time. So, I'm much better, and I need more than that. That just would be 50 dB. I probably need more than that. So I might jump up on the 20 and do 20 a piece. That sound a little better.
That probably would go with that.
20 with 20 times 5, that's 100. So surely 100 dB would be enough, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Gary. I'll jump it up to 20 then and see what my resistor values are. All right, 73s, bud. Appreciate the help. KO4 in UE, I'm clear.
Like I said, if you need anything else I can help you with, give me a holler, and we'll see what we can do and go from there. But you take care, and hopefully I'll get to talk to you tomorrow sometime. KO4 in UE, KI4DOS.
UE, this is WD8RON. Over.
Still in there or not, Mr. Ed, but glad to hear you back. I don't know if you dropped the power. If you did, we couldn't hear you, and if you hollered at us. But that J-pole is the one with the noise. Your beams doesn't have any noise on it. Over.
Full now is 20 watts. Have you ever had a watch with 3 buttons and 6 functions for each button?
Well, that's the way with these new radios. They're all menu-driven. You got to do 14 things to do one, make one change in it.
Since I got it with changing power, I locked it up and then could not unlock it. I turned it off and it was still locked, so I finally got it to work. I'm now at 20 watts and I'm on the J-pole. You still get that noise?
Hear it, Ed. Give me a dead key and we'll try it that way.
RON, silence follows. This is WD8RON, over.
Perhaps I did not hear it, Ed. It may be overtaxing your final output stage. It's the only thing I can think of. You're on a different coax, I would assume, since you're going from the J-pole over to the beam, over to the Aggie, and so you got 2 different pieces of coax. So it could either be somewhere in the coax, or maybe in one of the connectors, or something of that on the J-pole. Because I did not hear it at all on the beams on high power, and I don't hear it on the medium power on the J-pole.
It said to check out the power supply, and I've got the meter hooked up to that now. It doesn't budge on any power level. Just sits there right where it's supposed to be at 13.8 on any power level. And on this power, 20 watts, the noise seems to go away. And I was using 40 watts on the J-pole on the Yagi a while ago, and that seemed to be okay. So it's something in the J-pole, and I have to find out what that is.
Well, like I said, on 20 watts, it's fine on the J-pole. But when you add it up on high power, it sounded like a train starting off, you know, chug, 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 and it was getting faster. It was not that fast to start with. You know, it was kind of slow starting, but it was building up. But it was not doing it on the beams when you first called Chad, and you said you were on the beams on high power. It was just solid into there with no problems. So first place I would check would be the connectors and ohm out your coax real good and make sure that there's not a little piece of shield touching the center lead or something of that nature. It don't take much, as you well know. But I hope everything goes well with you. But the radio's sounding real good now. And just for your information, I can copy you on 20 watts on reverse on my all-directional. I didn't see if I could do it on the beams. My beams are pointed up towards Caesar's Head. But I'll probably get you on reverse on that as well.
Same, because every once in a while I switch over to the reverse, and sometimes I can pick up Chad. I did that just now. I could hear you, but very weak with a lot of noise behind it. So I'm playing with that. And I'm still trying to orient the Yagi as to which is the best direction to pick up which stations. I'm trying to go around 30 degrees to 60 degrees, and that seems to be the best one, although I'm still having trouble picking up some of the places I think I should.
Completely. While you were talking, I went ahead and flipped over to the input on the beams, and I could not hear you on the beams, but I had you on reverse on the all-directional, on vertical. So your radios are getting out well, and I just hope that you can find the little problem that you have either with the antenna or the feed line going to that J-pole. Like I said, on lower power, it's working fine, no noise, but it is, I think, overtaxing your final output stage on high power.
Do not need the high power for any of the repeaters around here. I've tried hitting the one in a try-on, but I can't hit that with anything. That's one reason I built the Yagi. The only change I am aware of is, are you familiar with liquid tape? That on the J-pole, and that's the only thing I've done.
I think that would affect it. Once it dries, it's not in liquid form anymore. But I wouldn't think that would hurt it.
To check the connectors and then get somebody with an analyzer to check my coax and see if something else is gone. And it could be something as simple as squirrels. They sometimes like to eat coax.
Oh, and they make a mess out of it when they do.
Television, and the squirrels or the raccoons, I don't know which, had chewed up on the coax coming into the house. We had to change that, and that took care of the problem.
Makes you mad when an animal gets out there and starts chewing on your wiring. Those squirrels and chipmunks, they really like wiring for some reason.
We feed the raccoons. They come up on the decks, and we give them peanuts and watch them. About 2 years ago now, we watched a mother and three kids, real small ones, and watched them grow. And I think the kids are coming back, but we haven't seen the mother, so I think she took off to another area. But we have a new animal, a groundhog. I saw him the other day. Heard some noise as I was going to the mailbox. He came out of the bushes, looked at me, and I looked at him, and he took off through the drainage ditch.
There's a lot of groundhogs around this area. and up that area, I feel like. I know there's a lot down here. Especially, we've got some railroad tracks, you know, train tracks not far from the house. You go over the bridge that goes across the tracks, and there's groundhogs all around there all the time. And they like those the banks, you know, where they cut it out and dig down to run the railroad tracks underneath the bridge or something of that nature. Those groundhogs seem to love that area for some reason. I guess it's easier for them to dig straight in and, you know, make them a burrow in there.
I've seen here in 18 years, he went out the drainage ditch that goes into, they apparently call it a cove here, but what I would call a ravine, crosses a ravine, and I noticed a burrow on the other side of it that's about, 8 inches diameter, and I think that's where he goes.
His home over there with that burrow, they do make about an 6 to 8 inch hole there, and go in there and, you know, I've looked at those silly things. They go down and then they go up. I guess that they don't want the rainwater to come in and flood their house, so I guess they build it to where the water will run back out the entrance.
Makes sense. He apparently is out in the yard eating a grass, because when I start down the path, he runs out from there, runs across the driveway, and then goes into his hole. So that may be part. Are you familiar with a windmill?
I'm familiar with the moles, yes, sir.
See, around here, I got a windmill. It's about 18 inches diameter. It's got a ball bearing that slides back and forth as it rotates, and that goes down the pipe and puts out sound waves or vibrations in the ground. It's supposed to keep away from moles. I think Harbor Freight sells them.
Again, to that, I've had a couple of moles come through the yard here. Matter of fact, I was outside in the front yard one afternoon, and it was cloudy and overcast, and I've got a gravel driveway, and I heard something in the gravel, and I looked around, and it was a mole. He had dug up through the ground, and he got over there to the gravel, and he couldn't get through it, so he came out of the ground, walked across the gravel over to the other side of the drive, and dug back down in the ground. So I had a different kind of a trap type thing. It looked more like a gigging pole, you know, that you go frog gigging with. It had three prongs on it, and you stuck it down over where you thought his little tunnel was going to be, and it's when he bumps it, it springs it, and it spears him under the ground, which is a good thing. You don't have to look at him that way. But I got rid of that one and haven't seen another one.
You're talking about go online for Harbor Freight and look up the windmill and see if it's something that you might be able to use.
And they have just built a new one over here in Easley, and haven't been in it yet, but that may be a good reason to go in there.
Seeing when we first moved in, I kind of liked the windmill because we could see what the wind is doing. And we're on the side of a hill and have had no problems with mosquitoes or flies or anything like that. I think the wind is just enough to keep those insects off, because if I go down below, then I get the no-see-ums.
DOS with WD8ROWN. Well, I can't say that. We live on top of a hill, but it's... the mosquitoes and stuff down here are, well, they haven't bothered me yet. I don't think they've come out much yet, because we've had too many cool nights. But in the summertime, the mosquitoes are just horrendous. And they like me. Me and my wife can be sitting out on the back porch, And if there's a mosquito around, it'll come and bite me. It won't get close to her. And if there's a group of them around, they'll all come to me, and they still won't go to her. So I don't know what it is about my body odor or whatever that the mosquitoes like, but I tell you what, they really enjoy me, so I try to keep covered up or keep bug spray mosquito repellent we got some citronella candles and stuff like that that we burn, which keeps them away really well. But if the wind's blowing and you're sitting on the wrong side of the candle smoke and fumes, they still bother you. So I wish I could find something that would keep the mosquitoes off.
I have box fans sitting on the deck pointing at you and see if that helps.
Fan does seem to help a little bit. If it's just on low and it's a real light breeze, it doesn't seem to affect them. But if I turn it up a little bit, to where they have to work, to fly around me, that seems to work pretty well that way. But I've got a squirrel cage fan that works really well. When I turn it on, they seem to leave me alone with it pretty much.
They're fortunate here. There just has not been a problem with insects.
But I'm glad you're fortunate in that respect to where you don't have that problem.
Kind of out in the country.
In a rural area, we got an acre of land here. It's not a very big place, but it's a full acre. And I got my little garden spot out there, and we've got trees and in the back and a lot of leaves and stuff. And that's where the mosquitoes really love to lay their eggs and hatch is out there in the leaves, because the moisture, the leaves stay pretty wet even in when it's been dry, and that seems to be their spot that they like to lay down in.
Sending water of some kind. I don't know how much, but they need some kind of water for the larva to be in, and that's why you used to put oil or mineral oil on top of standing water, because they couldn't break through that. When we were in Panama, they used to fog with DDT, but it finally stopped that. The Canal Zone people were always arguing with the Panamanian government about who owned the mosquitoes.
You know, they used to fog for mosquitoes around here. I don't know what chemical they used, but they haven't done that in a number of years. And I have heard about putting the oil on the water, standing water and stuff, but, you know, I've got water out there for the dogs and water in the bird baths, and you don't want to put it in there because you don't want to mess up the birds and don't make the dogs sick.
Using that every day and it's not standing for a couple of days should not be a problem. A weird question. How secure is your attic from insects and other things coming into your attic?
It's pretty secure. It's got the eaves, eave vents, but there's a screen over that. If you were, I don't know, a little bitty small mosquito, you might get through it. But for the most part, we don't have any kind of insects or anything in the attic.
Agriculture support people in the county down there and find out about bats. Bats eat huge numbers of insects. I thought about having a bat house here, but I couldn't do it because my attic wasn't secure.
We've had a couple of bats around here, but I haven't seen them in a long while. But they do say that bats love mosquitoes, you know, and that if I've got some bats around here, I won't bother them. I'll leave them alone.
You can either buy them or build them. They're simple to build. It's basically a box that's a couple of inches thick, interestingly enough, and put it out on a tree that's away from your house, and they'll find the mosquitoes.
That's a good remedy to get rid of those, for sure.
A lot of woods around my place, but it was going to be too much problem to secure the attic because there were just open spaces and they can go through a real small hole.
I thought they had to have a pretty large opening to get in, but I guess if, you know, you some of these small birds get in these little bitty holes, so I guess they fold their wings up and crawl on in, I guess.
Movies or whatever of them in caves and thousands of them, but if you get a bat house, it's real thin, and the agricultural people can probably give you booklets on how to build one.
Yeah.
Interesting if you do that, what the result is, because that would be one way of getting rid of the insects.
If I do that and I can find some, you know, I don't know if the bats would come to the box or if you'd have to try to buy some bats somewhere. I don't know if they even sell those or not. I'd have to do some research on that.
If they're around, they'd probably find it. But again, the agricultural people could probably help you with that.
It's right down the road. It's not too far, and that's what they do. They test soil, you know, soil samples and all this other stuff, and they are an agricultural school, so maybe I can get some information out of some of those folks down there.
So what they call an extension, usually each county has an extension office that is there for farmers and whatever to get advice on how to do things, what kind of plants not to plant, and stuff like that.
Get back to them on occasions for stuff like that, you know, to find out if this would grow in this area or if that would work in this area. They've been real helpful. So I'll see if I can get in touch with them and see what they can do for me.
Coax switch on the way, so I'm going to get that hooked up and then I can flip back and forth between these antennas. And that way I can pick up just about everybody I've been listening to. There are several stations I've heard that I haven't been able to get on that I'm curious as to who they are and see if I can orient this Yagi to pick up some. I've tried pointing it to Caesars, but have not had much luck in that. So I've still got to get out and get some directions. I think part of it is I'm on the side of a mountain, and I think I'm actually in some ways bouncing around mountains with the signal.
We are bouncing around quite a bit. That does happen. I was talking to Chad the other day, and I told him that the leaves had come out on the trees here at the house. And I had my beams pointed one direction, and all of a sudden I couldn't get into to a repeater, and I had been getting into it with no problem. And I had to turn the beams almost 30 degrees to get into the repeater that I wanted to get into. and I thought that was pretty erratic, but, you know, the leaves come out, and they do reflect and change the path of the signal, and it makes a big difference. So it changes from season to season, Ed, to what I found out.
Wondering is happening to me. The leaves are starting to come out, and my J-pole is fairly close to a tree, but I don't think it was a problem last year, but it was a different radio and I wasn't using the same power. So I may be that branches are moving back and forth and that's what's causing the funny noise.
That's a possibility as well. But the way that noise was tonight, I don't think that's the leaves on the trees. I think that's inside your radio and your overtaxing the final amplifier stage, and that's what that sound is. At least that's what it sounds like to me.
Hendersonville Radio Club, and one of the members there is an electrical engineer with a lot of experience. He taught in the Navy and all kinds of stuff. He's got a beautiful setup with for a shop, and he helped me with the J-pole. He actually gave that to me, so I'm going to get with him and see if he's got any ideas on it.
It'd be a good place to start and get him involved in it. Maybe he can help you out a little bit more than I can since I'm so far away. But other than that, Ed, I hate to rush off, but my wife has called. I've got to go in there and do something for her. Good talking with you this evening, and hopefully I'll be able to get to do it again here before long. Look forward to it, and we'll say 73 to you for now. But good talking with you, Ed, and if I can get done with her in a few minutes, I'll be back in here, and I'll turn the radio and holler for you again. But I don't know what she's got and what she needs me in there for. She has a bad back, unfortunately, and sometimes she turns wrong and she can't hardly stand up. So I'm hoping that's not the case tonight. But anyway, you take care, and I'll talk at you a little bit later. WD8RON, KI4DOS.
So, Ed, I'm going to secure my station. I've got a bunch of stuff I've got to do in another part of the house, but really appreciate all your help because you've given me some good ideas. And I'll talk about a couple other things that you brought up tonight later on. So we'll talk to you later. This is WD8RON out.
Forward to it. WD8RON, KI4DOS, clear.